Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, on this Palm Sunday, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, let me say a word of welcome again to Palm Sunday. I don't know about you, but I always find this a really difficult day. Difficult because we know what's going to happen and we know the part that we play in it, but it's more so this year in particular than it is in any other year, given everything that's going on around us. I think it's hard for our souls to feel their worth amidst this confusion in this particular time. Now, of course, we're aware of our Palm Sunday complicity, that our faith might again prove insufficient, untrustworthy, welcoming King Jesus in one moment and crucifying him in another, deserting him altogether. And of course, this year our insecurity is multiplied by the whole matter of COVID-19 and the isolation and fear that goes hand in hand with it. Our journey to Jerusalem grows long, and our social distancing keeps us apart. And all in all, I believe it to be the most difficult of Lenten seasons, culminating here this morning in Palm Sunday. Parlous times, parlous times. Do you know that word? It's a great word. You don't hear it very much. It's not perilous, it's parlous. It means full of danger, full of risk. Hazardous would be a good synonym for parlous. So these feel like parlous times to me, for sure. And that word, which is old, kind of puts me in mind of Charles Dickens, because it's a word that he used. That's where I got it from. And he proves to be clairvoyant. He says, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Never has our nation been more wealthy or more powerful. It is the best of times. Rarely has our nation been more at risk. It is perhaps the worst of times. Wealth and power, you see, are not adequate to the fullness of human need. We know that now in ways we might not have known it a month ago. And to satisfy that particular need, our souls must search elsewhere. That's probably what's drawn us here together this morning. It's probably that God-shaped hole in your heart that has nudged you to open up your computer and be here with us this day. The struggle, as Henry Nouwen says, is to keep moving toward the light precisely when the darkness is so real. It seems like everything is changing, doesn't it? But it seems like everything is always changing. Like nothing we counted on is turning out to be real. Nothing we trusted is trustworthy, even ourselves. That individual that you pass on the sidewalk as you take that lap around the lake here in Fountain Hills, that individual might just be your killer. It's hard to know who to trust, what to trust in this day and age. We long for some truth that we can count on. A couple of weeks ago, I found a dazed bird on our back porch. It seems that this dove was just flying along, looking ahead, confident in its safety, secure in the notion that she was proceeding in a good direction. But what she was actually seeing before her, you see, was an illusion. It was the reflection of what was behind her in the glass that was in front of her, and bam, right into that glass she went full speed. Trusting her own judgment, she'd flown exactly in the opposite direction she should have, nearly killing herself in the process. Maybe that's how it is with us. Maybe that's what we're going through right now. Maybe we have trusted too much in too many wrong things. Maybe we've relied on a reality which, like the reflection that that dove saw before it, is illusory. Perhaps like her, we've flown in the wrong direction. The Luke passage that you just heard Monty read. In that passage, the soon-to-be crucified Christ is orienting his disciples to the parlous times that are going to lay before them. The Lord knows what awaits him. He makes that clear in the text. In fact, he always has known what lies before him. You see, this is the third time that he has said this to his disciples as they've journeyed toward Jerusalem. And he also knows who and how we are. So he knows that the disciples will be questioning what was real and what was illusory after the crucifixion. He knows theirs will seemingly be a world full of patio doors. So he tells them the stark truth. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem, where I'll be rejected and reviled and spat upon. And men will lay their hands on me, and I will be killed. But on the third day, on that third day, I'll rise again from the dead. And Luke tells us that the disciples did not grasp what was said. They must have felt like that dove on the patio in the aftermath of all of this. Still alive, but too dazed to move. Recognizing this, just a few days later, Jesus gathers them in that upper room. And he prepares that particular meal for them that he will prepare for us in just a few moments here. And he continues guiding them into the time that will come before them. And he seeks to give them some comfort. That's how he begins. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now notice what comes next. Believe in God, he says, and believe also in me. Critical advice then, critical advice now. Then he reveals the truth about eternity, that he's going to prepare a place for us, that he's coming again to take us there himself. And he adds, you know the way to the place where I am going. Lord, complains Thomas, on behalf of all of us, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And with this, Thomas enters history, placing his finger right on the intersection of life and death. He states the human condition really clearly. Lord, we don't know. And he asks the fundamental question of human existence. Lord, how can we know? Great questions then, great questions now. Now, Jesus addresses both the condition and the question simply yet comprehensively. I, he says, am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Focus on me, he says. I am all you need. And that's all you need to know. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. You see, Jesus is the fixed point in a world that is filled with illusion. Jesus is the clear vision before us in a world that's filled with reflective patio doors. 430 light years from Earth, there is a star that's called Alpha Ursa Minoris. You probably know it as Polaris, the North Star. It's the brightest star in the constellation Ursa Minor, And here's the thing, it's growing brighter year by year. In fact, it's 2.5 times brighter than when Ptolemy saw it in antiquity. And it's a rare star. You see, it's not seasonal like most of them. It's always there in our northern sky. More importantly, it is so directly in line with the axis of the Earth's rotation, the rotation around the pole, above which Polaris circles, that it marks the true north. It marks the fundamental direction in our northern hemisphere that defines all others, east, south, and west. Because no other star sits as close to the axis of the planet, no other can provide that constancy of direction. And for this reason, mariners and nomads throughout the ages have fixed their paths on that North Star. In this hemisphere, it appears as an immovable benchmark for orienting ourselves and directing our navigation. I want to suggest to you this morning that the cross is our true north, and Jesus Christ is our Polaris, the foundations from which all spiritual and practical navigation takes orientation. When all worldly points of bearing we have relied upon for direction prove inconstant, when all physical things that we have depended upon for direction and security prove unstable, when we feel like that dove on the patio, dangerously seduced by the mere illusion of reality, as we begin to fix our eyes on Christ, he grows ever brighter, like that North Star. In the words of the Christmas carol, from which our sermon series takes its title, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. This may be a Christmas carol, but this is a Lenten awareness. Yonder breaks a new and glorious morn, and the soul will feel its worth. God in Christ Jesus remains our constant and guiding presence, the way, the truth, and the life, the fixed point in a constantly shifting world. Now a caution. Jesus is never less than truthful. If it were not so, he says, I would have told you. And he warns us of parlous times before us. The ruler of this world, he says, is coming. But even then he assures us, he has no power over me. If our COVID-19 Lenten experience has taught us anything, it is this: to look to the ruler of this world, or to the things of this world, for direction or security is to orient ourselves by the wrong star. These things, these stars, they will rise and fall in accordance with the order of God's creation. They are seasonal, visible for a time, but imperceptible at others. Disaster befalls those who mark their ways by them. So on this Palm Sunday, at the end of this Lenten season, as we boldly shout our hosannas and anxiously await what comes, as Easter dawn glows hopefully just below the horizon this morning, let us see today as but the end of the beginning. Let us look to our Polaris, the fixed point in our universe, and set a course in whatever surprising directions he leads. After all, who but him would have thought of a cross? And as we orient our souls to our North Star, the one who truly is for us the way, the truth, and the life, let us rest in his blessing. The blessing he gave his disciples in that upper room, the blessing he has left for us for all time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.